books, all of his Tom Clancy's lined up in alphabetical order. He airs them out and wipes them down once a week. All these years, I never knew that about him. I thought you'd get a kick out of it.
I feel for you, Mary Kay. I thought I suffered, but you were forced to be inside of your marriage for a solid week. You played nurse. You dealt with a move, and how did you get through it? You daydreamed about me. You stored up anecdotes for me, and now you feed them to me, and I'm happy that you didn't tell me how you're doing in a stupid text. Sometimes you love someone so much that you can't bear a taste or a text because only this kind of moment will do. Shared air. Stillness on a love seat. Your silence is heavy with what you don't say, that you want me to be with you the next time you fly away. I love that you love me. I love that you came out into the cold to see me, and we do belong together, but not like this. Married, buried. I close the lid on my box of beef and broccoli. Hey, I say. Do you mind if I cut out early? It's fun to watch you fight the devastation in your body.
Big plans tonight?
I remember Phil's first tweet today.
Xmas lights. Why? No. Aren't we over this? Is it January yet? Hashtag peace. Hashtag.
Well, I special ordered Christmas lights last month. It's not a lie. It's a pre-truth. It's kind of embarrassing, but I love to string lights. I am the anti-Phil, and I am your light.
That's so great.
Lights are a more is more situation, you know? You squeeze your paper cup. I know it's hard being with the wrong person when the right person is right here. I make a pit stop at Cooley Hardware to pick up lights, and luck is on my side, no Seamus. And I get home, and there's a box on my front porch. My serotonin surges, and Jeff Bezos is a rich man because he knows how much we all just love to get a present, even if it's a present we bought for ourselves. I hang my lights, take that, Phil, and I go inside, down to my whisper room. I open my present to myself. But it's really a present for you. Basic Text, 6th edition. Author, Narcotics Anonymous. I'm reading Phil's Bible for the same reason that you dipped your toes in the Cedar Cove series after we first spoke on the phone. You wanted to know what I'm all about. You wanted to speak my language. I don't need a fucking self-help book, Mary Kay, but I will do whatever it takes to help you to follow your fucking heart and end your dead marriage. It's the giving season, and tonight, I bequeath my time to you, to us. I want to write to Dr. Nikki and tell him to read the basic text because it made me realize what we had in common way back when: addiction to toxic women. I was up all night and my eyes are bloodshot and puffy. Perfect. And I choose an old sweater. Lucky for me, your husband likes to tweet about his NA meeting, so I'm here, in the parking lot of Grange Hall. I will meet your husband and pretend to be a fellow addict slash Sacrafil super fanboy. My plan is simple in theory. Befriend him, needle him about his failure to produce another shark, make him become the worst possible version of himself, and undo everything he learned from his Bible. When I'm in Phil's head, when he's in peak monster, woulda, coulda, shoulda been, and still could if not for the damn family mode, well, you'll have no choice but to end your sham marriage. If I do a good job, you'll watch Phil come to terms with the fact that he's not a fucking husband, and he's not a fucking father. He's a fucking rock star, man. And you'll feel justified in leaving him. But if I fuck up? I light another Marlboro Red, and I'm pacing the way addicts do before they go to a first meeting. This is risky. You could find out what I'm up to, but you started this, Mary Kay. You didn't tell me about him. And the best Christmas gifts never come easy. If and when the three of us are in the same room, I'll tell you the truth, that I went to a meeting for the same reason a lot of people who aren't addicts go to these meetings. It was the holidays. I was lonely. Right now, I have to focus on the mission, like a dad driving all over the city to find that stupid fucking Cabbage Patch kid. I hear Sacrifil music in the distance, and it's him. He's in his jalopy, and he's pulling into the parking lot, rocking out to his own song. I breathe. I can do this. Christmas is about miracles and transformation. Hi, I'm Jay, and I'm addicted to heroin. And Phil gets out of his jalopy, and I run through Jay's story. I hurt my back in a car accident, got oxy, got hooked on oxy, tried heroin because it was cheaper, and yesterday... Well, I won't tell my story today. This is one of those less-is-more situations. But a good actor prepares, and the basic text has good advice for all of us. Find new playgrounds. Find new playthings. Here comes my plaything now. Still a little porky and sunburnt from his time in Phoenix. I freeze up like a star fucker and stare at him as I try not to stare at him. That's Phil DeMarco. Look at him open the door. Stars. They're just as fucked up as us. He disappears into the building and I cough all that crap out of my lungs and pat down my mothy sweater. This is it. I'm going in. My new playground is smaller than I expected. There are two rich ladies. One likes Kahlua. One likes Percocets. A couple of court-ordered resentful old rich people and a trio of court-ordered teens. A friendly 30-something woman picks up a glazed donut.
Hey, she says. You ever go to this meeting before?
No, I say. You? She smirks. She wears two diamond engagement rings. Jesus. And she nods at your husband, who's on the other side of the room, just as bombastic in person as he is on his infomercial. He points at his freshly shaven face, laughing at his own terrible joke.
You get it, man? I shaved the beard, and now it's growing on me.
Fair warning, says the woman with two diamonds. Some people in this group like to talk. A lot. But hey, at least it's not boring.
Soon, we're taking our seats, and the rat is so close, and the spirit of Christmas is alive in me. It is the most wonderful time of the year, and I introduce myself. My voice is shaky, but that's normal, and nobody pushes me to spill my guts. Good. Mrs. Kahlua talks about how much she loves Kahlua, how hard it is to go to holiday parties, and Princess Percocets gripes about her self-righteous daughter, and finally your rat raises his hand.
Can I butt in?
He rubs the back of his grimy head and takes a long, 10 months pregnant kind of pause, and I try not to picture you on top of him, grabbing his hair, until he finally cuts into all that overblown selfish silence he imposed on us.
So, the wife finally got back from Thanksgiving. Felt like she was gone forever.
No shit, sure cock. But this is pretty exciting. I get to hear Phil's side of the story. A side even you don't get to see.
But it's like we're right back to fighting the way we were in Phoenix. It was rough. Thing one was in a mood, man.
I know we can't name names, but seriously, Phil? Thing one?
Me and Thing two... We couldn't do right by her.
Thing two is Nomi, but Nomi is not a thing.
Thing one was all over Thing two about some book she's reading.
Oh, come on, Phil. The book is Columbine.
And she was all over me about my cigs.
Cigs.
I'm not going to say that cigarettes are good for you, but you know what else isn't good for you? Being nagged.
I start to clap and stop. Starstruck. Fanboy. Phil winks.
Thanks, man. Thing One's got daddy issues, but lately it's out of control.
I've made you think about things, Mary Kay. I've made you grow.
The whole damn week she's on me to participate in the family. I try to participate, man. I do. A local bar invites me to play.
Bullshit. He tweeted that bar and four other bars. He invited himself.
I score us a table, and they're cool with my kid, and Thing One flies off the handle. We don't want to go to a bar. My dad can barely walk right now. Thing Two is 17. Man, I know I'm not supposed to say it.
Say it, Phil. Say it.
But Thing One, she botched the turkey. She can't stay off Instagram, and for someone who loves to read so much, well, she ain't reading lately.
You love me too much to concentrate, and soon we'll be on my sofa reading together.
And Thing Two is 17, going on 12. She needs to grow up. All she does is ride her bike around on her own in La La Land.
Phil shakes his head.
We used to be a dynasty. I was her king. She was my queen. We were heroes.
Another pregnant pause, and the woman with two rings bites her lip. She's not alone. Your poor husband is a recurring joke, Mary Kay.
I didn't cave, he says. But the thing is, yes, I fucking did cave, man. I didn't get to play for a whole week.
Lie.
I know I've said it before.
Say it again, please.
But man, is this it? Is this my life?
He shakes it off.
Never mind, he says. You'd have to be in my shoes to... Never mind.
The woman with two diamonds starts talking about her two engagements, and Phil isn't listening. He takes his phone out, and he's typing and tapping his foot, and is he trying to turn this woman's sob story into a song right in front of her? I want to call 911 and report a theft, but the meeting is ending, and it's time to mingle, and I'm nervous again. We're milling around, eating more donuts, and your rat heads outside, and if I want your present to be ready for Christmas, I have to do this. I put down my donut. I chase your rat. He's on the way to his car, and I'm catching up, and I can do this. I am Jay Anonymous, Sacrifil fanboy. I clear my throat. Nervous, he's a rocker, and I scratch my head. Nervous, he's your husband, and he opens the door, and I fake a stumble. Ouch! And he looks over his shoulder and laughs at me, just a little, and I apologize, just a little, and I pull out a Marlboro Red, and I'm stuttering when I begin my first official outreach to the Phil DeMarco.
Excuse me, I say. Do you have a light?
He leans against his car like he did in the promo photos for Moan and Groan, and I wish I was wearing a Sacrifil t-shirt. But what can I say, Mary Kay? It's a busy time of year, and last-minute shopping is tough.
Hey, man,
he says.
You all right?
I nod, too starstruck to speak, and he passes me his lighter. Zippo with a naked girl, what a good dad. And I drop it on the pavement, and he picks it up and lights my cigarette, and thank God you can't see us right now. I look at him like he's the Ark of the fucking Covenant, and I breathe in and out.
Wow,
I say.
I'm having a butt with Phil DeMarco.
His face is a shrinky dink in the oven, expanding, brightening.
Oh, shit, he says. We got us a Philistine.
I'm so sorry. Shit. I know we're not supposed to use our names.
Nah, man, it's cool.
I had to come up to you. Man, the whole time in there, I was like, I can't move, I can't breathe, I just die underneath. He likes to be quoted. All writers are pathetic that way. And he laughs, and this is painful, but this is the only way for me to get you what you really want. Me. I thought I was tripping. Phil DeMarco, the most horrifically underrated rock star of all time, is 10 feet away from me, and man, I'm just... Man. I drop my cigarette. Nerves on top of nerves. And he offers me one of his, and I take it. I can't believe I'm smoking a butt with Phil DeMarco.
You're hardcore, he says. What about you? You got a name?
Jay, I say, happy I worked so hard on my character. He hawks a loogie on the pavement.
No worries, he says. It's not like you're blowing my cover. Everyone knows who I am. What's your name again?
I literally just said it, but then again, he doesn't even know the name of his daughter's favorite book.
I'm Jay, I say. Jesus Christ, man. What are you even doing here?
Same thing you are, man. Day by day.
But you're you. I mean, come on, you don't need this. That shit you said about Phoenix, how do you even stand it?
He chuckles.
Yeah, Phoenix sucked.
See, what you said in there made me think. A few years back, you told Mojo that you couldn't go 6 hours without touching a guitar. I smile.
Or getting laid.
He laughs at his own old bad joke.
Well, that was then, man. Things change.
He doesn't really think things change, and he's right, they don't. I smoke my butt, and I hope I don't get cancer from these fucking things. I can't stand the idea of dying before you, leaving you here to miss me. He blows a smoke ring, and I try and fail. Perfect. And I ash on a pile of old freebie newspapers because he ashed on it first. But that's a fire hazard, Mary Kay. Your husband is a fire hazard.
So, I say, can I ask, are you working on anything now?
Hell yeah, he says. Always.
Good, because I am dying for a new album. And a tour. People say it's not going to happen. I'm like, fuck yes it is. Phil DeMarco is going to come back in a big way.
He picks at his dirty fingernail.
You can't push. Every album comes when it comes.
Spoken like a true procrastinator. And I nod.
I never thought I'd get to meet you because you don't tour anymore.
We don't tour right now, he says.
Boom.
Your album's on the way, I promise.
I gotta ask, were you writing a song in there?
You bet I was. See, as an artist, I go to these meetings for the pathos. Not to sound like a douche,
as if the disclaimer doesn't classify him as a douche,
but as an artist, I get more out of it. You got a beast in you. You gotta feed the beast. I get a lot of good material in there. Tons.
That's so rad.
I was right. He's a thief. You know, I'm thinking I might go get a guitar, a Schecter, find a new plaything.
You can say no, but is there any way I can hit you up for advice?
He gives me his number and says he has to get home as he quotes his own song.
I got a crate and a barrel and a gun. Here's my advice about finding a good Schecter.
Pregnant pause.
Get a Gibson, man.
I laugh as if that was clever, and he starts his car. And did I do it? Did I get in his head? I tune in to his show at midnight, and sure enough, he's wailing about the holidays, pining for the good old days when he had time to focus on his true calling, his music. The man is in pain, Mary Kay. And you can't make him happy. Listen to his show and look at his body. He has a Sacrifil tattoo. He bled for that band. He took a needle for that band. But your name's not inked on his skin. And it's time for you both to realize it. Chapter 11. The next day, I walk into the library and I slink into the back without saying hello, but an hour later, you find me. You're frisky. You put your hands on Dolly and you tell me that Nomi wants to get a kitten for Christmas. Are you allergic or anything?
No, I love cats, but she's going away soon.
You look right at me.
Do you like cats?
You are so hot for me that you are planning our life together, and you squeeze Dolly, nervous.
I ask because our friends, they have 3 kittens, so, you know, you could get one too.
You want us to adopt kittens together, and I smile. I love cats. It's tempting. You pull your hands off Dolly.
Well, it's something to think about. Our cats would be siblings.
You fiddle with your belt.
Well,
you say,
Let's both think about it, yeah?
I give you a yeah, and already my plan is working. The next day, I go to a meeting and Phil bitches to me about cats.
Cats are cool, but do I need one more thing to take care of? Already, I don't have enough time to play.
In a normal situation, you can't advise someone to leave their spouse because when they don't, you become that asshole who talked shit about the spouse. But nothing about our situation is normal, and I am hashtag Team Phil.
You don't need a cat, I say. You need a studio.
Tell that to the wife, man. We're so close to freedom. My kid's on her way to college in a few months, and the wife wants to tie me down with a new cat.
Does she not? I don't want to overstep, but does she not get who you are? He flicks his cigarette into a pile of leaves.
Nope, he says. Not lately.
The next day, I march into the library and walk into your office. Okay, I say. Let's get cats. I'm in. You fix your eyes on your computer screen. He fights you every step of the way, and I am on hashtag Team You.
Well, you say, that was fast. Do you have a name picked out?
I sit in my chair and you scratch your collarbone and I latch my hands behind my head and smile. Riffic, I say. Little Riffic Goldberg.
Ah, you say. I do love me some suffixes.
Suffix sounds like sex, and you are the smartest, sexiest woman on the planet, and you are the fan to my tastic, showing me a picture of your favorite kitten, the one with a natural tuxedo.
Look at this little guy. He's all dressed up, and he will find somewhere to go.
I tell you his name should be Licious, and you groan.
Anything but Licious.
And I dream of a long, slow Saturday, you and me naming our kittens. Well, I say, there's three of them, right? You nod.
Yes.
Okay, so after work, let's go pick up Riffic, Tastic, and Licious. But you throw your empty coffee cup in the trash and tell me that now Nomi's on the fence. You're doing it again. You're protecting your rat. You tell me that Nomi wants a kitten, not a cat. And kittens grow up fast. You shrug.
There's no way around it. It's the fate of all kittens.
You're a fatalist, and you need to believe in fate. Me, I pick up one of your tchotchkes and I make a proposal. How about I get all three kittens, Tastic, Riffic, and Licious, and then when you're ready, you can take one.
You're so sweet, Joe.
Yes, I am.
But three cats? What about your furniture?
I have plenty of room, and I can get the toys, scratching posts. I am a homebody, and Phil is a home wrecker, and you fiddle with your pen.
I always had this idea that when I had my bookshop, well, every bookshop needs a cat.
Just like every bodega. How about this? I keep one, you keep one, and Licious will live in your bordello. You practically purr at me.
Well, on one condition. The little guy in the tux cannot be named Licious. You can't do that to me, Joe. You have to give up on that name.
I purr right fucking back. Giving up's not really my style, Mary Kay. 3 days later, my arms are all scratched up and I am a man with three cats. I am also the owner of a Gibson and I sneeze. My body will adjust to the dander. And Phil waves his hands, frantic.
Come on, man, I don't want to catch what you got.
He was grumpy in the meeting, and he's grumpy after the meeting. I tell him I'm sorry, and he shrugs it off.
It's not you, he says. The wife's holding a grudge about the kitten thing, showing me videos of the kittens.
I send you my videos, and you love that I don't post them online, and they're only for you, for me, for us. And now I find out that you show the videos to him, ha, and he takes a drag of his cigarette.
All right, he says. I got a split.
He goes home to you, the injustice,
And I go home terrific and licious and tastic, and they're not just exceptionally cute. They also give us a reason to communicate around the clock. You send me links to cat toys, and you're too busy with Christmas to come over and meet our future cats, and I'm a busy man, pushing Phil to man up and put his music first. Christmas is getting closer. Every day Phil is a little bit closer to the edge, and every day I send you photos, mostly of Licious. You tell me that you're going to die of cuteness, and somehow I go to sleep, and the next day I go to a meeting and Phil spends the whole time writing a song in his phone about how his wife is writing him about cats and bookstores. I go home after the meeting and play with my kittens and I check Phil's tweets.
Can't fucking wait to tour. Philistines, hashtag. Peace, hashtag. Did someone say Sacra Phil surprise album, hashtag? Christmas is canceled, hashtag. Peace, hashtag. Fixing to put another shark inside your shark, Philistines. Peace, hashtag. What do you do when your wife drives you crazy? Asking for a friend. Peace, hashtag.
Licious and Tastic and Horrific are so cute. They're scratching the Sacrifil albums I bought on eBay. But I can't just sit here. Not tonight. I want to see you. I want to see what your marriage looks like when it's imploding. I put on a hoodie and I pick up my binoculars and I'm out the door. It's cold in the woods, and it's dark in the woods, and your windows are bright and I see you, Mary Kay. You're turning the pages of a book, and your rat walks into the room and you don't look up. You flip him the bird and he slams the door and you are mine. You don't love him anymore. You love me. The blow comes out of nowhere. Something hard hits the center of my back. Binoculars down. Me down. The blow comes again. A boot in my back and heavy breathing, my poor ribs, and then another kick. Pow! I am on my side and I taste blood, and another kick knocks me into a rock. Roots punish my back and the boot punishes my front, and I know that boot. I've seen that boot. A heavy militant but also fuck me Sorrel. In a wheeze, I get her name out of my mouth.
Melinda?
Chapter 12.
I knew it! Melinda grips a pink can of pepper spray, pink as your mother's Cadillac. I knew you were a pervert the day we met, she says. Two words, Woody Allen. Fuck. Fuck. Melinda, no, this isn't what you think, she grunts. For the last fucking time, you don't tell me what I think. I know what you're doing, pervert. You're wrong. Let me, please, listen to me. She grinds her big angry boot into my chest, and there will be a bruise.
Aw, do you want me to listen to you, Joe? Are you going to tell me you were out here bird watching? Are you going to tell me that you didn't even know that Nomi lives in this house?
Nomi. No, not her. No, I can't breathe, and I am the bird, dying in the dirt.
Melinda, this isn't what you think. He loves books. He adores film. And he does love birds. Birds, as in teenage girls.
My vocal cords freeze up on me. The boot. The lie. No, Melinda. No, no. I was not looking at Nomi.
Don't even try, pervert.
She presses a number on her phone and she thinks I'm a pervert and you don't come back from a pedo accusation and I am not a fucking pedophile. And Melinda may be skilled in the art of self-defense, but she has a lot to learn about offense.
I grab her by the sorrel and I yank hard. She goes down and her phone goes down and I clamp my hand over her big vicious mouth. I pick up the closest rock. Crunch. I'm still shaking, Mary Kay. My attacker is locked up downstairs in my whisper room, and this sort of shit isn't supposed to happen in Cedar fucking Cove. I moved here to be happy. I moved here to make peace, to find peace, and now my ribs are flaring, hot like McRibs.
My kittens are useless and clueless, meowing and playing like nothing ever happened. Thanks, fuckers. And I pick up my phone with my trembling hand. I set up security cameras downstairs so that I have eyes on her, and she's still asleep, for now. I didn't ask to be tangled up in your blues, Mary Kay. The situation is calm for now, but I can't keep her here forever. She's not a fucking cat, and I can't let her go, and I don't want to be the guy who killed your best friend. Even though it would be self-defense if one thinks of the reputation as part of the self, which it is. At least I have her phone. Thanks for the thumbprint access, Apple, and I'm getting a master's in all things Melinda. She's been scheming to move to Minnesota to chase down the only decent guy she ever dated. So I informed the school that she was taking a leave to go out of town for some job interviews. They didn't seem surprised. She fights with everyone at that school, and I had to give her an alibi, Mary Kay. We live in America, and a single, relatively attractive woman can't just disappear, because there's nothing women love more than stories about missing women. But she does have to go, Mary Kay. As it turns out, your best friend is a double agent. She's always whining to you about her old friend, Nettie. They met on Melinda's semester abroad, and you are supportive. But then she talks to Nettie about you. We have to end their toxic friendship. We can't have Nettie calling Interpol, so I send Nettie a text from Melinda's phone, a text meant for you. So I'm horrible, LOL, but once again I'm done with Nettie. She's whining about her birthday like she's in sixth grade, and it's like, Nettie, honey, get a life, you know, LOLOL. Horrible, I know. Nettie got the message. Oops. And she snaps right back. I think this was meant for Mary Kay. Have a nice life. Block. Mute. Bye. Nettie unfollows Melinda in all the stupid places. That's one achievement unlocked. And she shares a passive-aggressive meme about fake friends. And maybe I could do this for a living. Take your phone. Fix your life. My ribs are cooling off, and in a sick way, I'm happy that Melinda came after me. See, Mary Kay, you never told me that we have an enemy in our midst. She's been campaigning against me for weeks. I knew it, and you always defend me, and women are on guard when it comes to men. I get it, but never mind me, Mary Kay. You should see what she says about you. I screenshot one of the worst entries in her Notepad app. MK and those skirts, honestly, we get it, you have legs, LOL. And MK shows up with no call because I live alone, as if I have no life. Hello, I have a life. And I know you love her, but this woman is not your friend. This is why I don't try too hard to keep up with the exclamation point Ethan, Mary Kay, and this is why friends is a lie. Most people wouldn't like their friends if they got into their phones. You would want me to have empathy for Melinda, and okay. She does try to be a better person. She bought 9 meditation apps. They're not working. And you warn her that Alice and Olivia are like her drug dealers, and she sends you excerpts of her food diary. 9 Safeway donut holes. I hate everyone, but hate me the most right now. Grr. Fuck you, patriarchy. Fuck you, Safeway. And you rightfully tell her that she isn't fat. Fuck you, United States of Body Dysmorphia. But there's a lot you don't know, Mary Kay. Would you still have empathy for Melinda if you knew that she manipulated 2 unpaid, uncredited interns into building her feminist incubator? That's right, Mary Kay. Just ask the interns, Eileen and Deanne. Your best friend doesn't support other women. She erases them. And she wants to erase us, too. Last week, you told her not to give up on the dream of Minnesota, and she LOL'd. LOL, MK, I'm not moving. Never seeing Harry again.
You just sounded so excited about going there. You never know. Maybe you will.
Right, kind of like you and your new little boyfriend. See, we do know, LOL.
That's not fair. That was one kiss.
LOL, MK, face it. I'm not moving to MN. BI is home. You're not leaving Phil. He's home. These are facts. This is why we drink our wine, LOL.
But she's not honest with you, Mary Kay. After she blew you off with an LOL, she sent 2 follow-up emails to HR reps in Minneapolis. She's allowed to make her moves, but she discourages you from making your moves. She suffers, and so she wants you to suffer, and now she's wide awake, pounding on the glass walls of my whisper room, screaming like a bad actress in a B-movie. I crack my knuckles. I can do this. I can take on her voice. And I have to, because the two of you text all fucking day. You type, same way you do every fucking morning.
How's life?
It is 7 a.m. Why don't you women leave each other alone? I breathe. This is the upside to this mess. I get to change your life. I type.
Sweetie, OMG, big news. Fingers crossed, I'm in a mad rush to Minneapolis for a job interview, yee, and I already talked to a couple guys on Bumble, LOLOL. Who knows, but yee, LOLOL, XOXO.
My heart is pounding. The sun is up. Did I do a good job? Do you buy me as Melinda? Here come the dots. Please, God, you owe me. And here comes your response.
Congrats!
It's a win, and I needed a win. And you text again, sharing your own news. You're getting a haircut today. I put Melinda's phone in my pocket. She told you, Mary Kay, she's in a mad rush, and it will be satisfying to see you growing, weaning off your sister, but now it's time for the hard part. I have to go and face my attacker. When I get downstairs, I don't look in the cage, and my whisper room was never supposed to be a cage. I stand in front of my TV, and Melinda's behind me, locked up and screaming.
You're a fucking pervert!
But I owe it to you to try and make her see the light. She spits at the glass, and it turns out the whisper room isn't actually soundproof, which means that I hear every word of her abuse.
You are a fucking pedophile and a psychopath and a fucking sociopath, and you will pay for this, you sicko! Let me out! Now!
Ha. That is not how we catch flies, Melinda, and I sigh. Well, make up your mind. Which is it? What am I exactly? All three or just one? I sit in my chair and I take out my flashcards. She is the teacher, but I am the professor, and I was up all night making a lesson plan. She bashes the glass wall with her fists.
Pedophile!
I sigh and shake my head. Wrong.
Fuck you!
Come on, Melinda. You're smarter than that.
I know, Joe. I know about your dirty Bukowski book.
You must have told her I thought Nomi might like Bukowski over the phone, because I didn't see that in your texts. For God's sake, Melinda, you should know that reading Bukowski is a good way to learn about vile men. You're an English teacher. She blinks fast and pivots.
For your information, I'm actually trained to spot pedophiles, and using a mom as a conduit, well, that's the oldest trick in the book, obviously.
I think your meditation apps are making you paranoid.
Make all the snide jokes you want, sweetie. I know what I saw. You're a monster. You are a pedophile, and you will be the one who winds up behind bars.
Moving on, I say, and I pick up my flashcards. I found your diary in the notepad app on your phone.
No. No, you didn't.
She bangs on the glass, and I choose one of my favorites. Date, I say. November 1st. MK calls and expects me to pick up as if I don't have a life, but when I call her, does she pick up? Nope. Too busy with her family. Try being alone, you mommy whiner. She makes earmuffs.
Stop it!
I pick another flashcard, a real gem. Date, October 27th.
You are a child molester, you sicko. These are notes. I get PMS. That is private.
I maintain my composure and I read Melinda's diary. Sometimes I just wish I could murder MK. So smug, like she's first woman to ever have a crush at work. Get a life, grr. And if Nomi was my kid, like just no. Be a role model. Stop flirting, you slut. He's not in love with you. Not every guy is so crazy about you. And buy some fucking pants. Where is my period? Fuck you, world.
Stop it, Joe. You have no idea. Female friendships, they're complicated.
I go into her texts and open the history of Melinda and Seamus. Huh, I say. Is that why you drunk text Seamus, asking who was a better lay back in high school? She spits at me, as if I'm the one who texts Shortus. I still can't believe you slept with him. It stings, it does. And I sigh. I'm not judging you, Melinda. I'm just trying to help you see that sometimes you're wrong.
Fuck you, pervert!
I pick another card. November 4th. I would be living in Minneapolis by now if not for married Kay. I hate her. Nomi should be living with me and married Kay. I say, clever. She looks at me.
You won't make me think I'm the bad guy, you sicko. You were stalking Nomi. I saw.
Huh, I say. You know, Melinda, I guess what hurts the most, besides my ribcage, she rolls her eyes, an emoji come to life. I get it. This isn't an easy place to be single. Hell, I live next door to a family. You and I, we're in the minority. You try to do good, I try to do good, but you decided that because I'm single, there must be something wrong with me.
And I was right. You're a pedo.
Melinda, I am not a pedophile. But after reading your notepad, I gotta say, I do wonder what you were doing in the woods.
Oh, you sicko. I was looking out for Nomi.
Ah.
The Bukowski, the Woody Allen, I knew it then and obviously I really know it now. I see you.
I pick another flashcard. Feels so freaking good to tell Deanne and Eileen that I will be the one taking the credit for the incubator. These young girls are so fucking entitled, and someone needs to smack them down because they have no idea how hard it is to be a woman in the real world. She sits up straight as if there's a book on her head.
What's your point?
You don't see the hypocrisy? Women supporting women? You're literally erasing the women who support you.
I am not the one on trial here.
You called me a pedophile. You attacked me, but look at you. What about you? You hate your best friend and you're stealing credit from your fellow sisters. She folds her arms, indignant.
Nice try, pervert. But you don't know the first thing about my life. Eileen and Deanne are college kids. I'm not erasing their work. They don't have a fucking clue about how hard it is to be a single woman in a school system. Let them try going into a school every day where everyone treats you like a leper slash whore because you're not married. And they think you should just be able to work every day all day because you don't have a life. Like there's something inherently wrong with you if you're alone.
Christ, Melinda, just admit it. They're wrong about you, and you were wrong about me.
Well, unlock the door and let me go, and I'll know for sure that you're not a predator.
Melinda, I wish I could trust you. I do. But I wasn't grooming Nomi. And you attacked me, and this is on you. She bangs on the glass, which hurts her hand more than it hurts me.
Let me out! Now!
Her phone is in my pocket, and it buzzes. And it's you.
When do you fly to MN? So excited for you.
Melinda drops her fists.
Is it MK?
She's trembling now, shaking, and her sizable vocabulary is boiled down to a single word.
Sicko!
I write back, because this is what you gals do.
Leaving in a few hours.
Melinda knocks on the glass, softer now. She's a teacher again.
Joe, look, I'm sorry. I was paranoid, and I did judge you, okay? I really thought you were just latching onto MK to get to know me. I mean, MK is old.
You're not old.
Joe, she says. I mean it, I'm sorry, and if you let me go... Look, you're right. We both overreacted, and no one has to know about this. Now that we're talking... Well, you're right. We are on the same side. We can be.
I wasn't born an hour ago, and I sigh. There's a remote on the bed. She kicks the wall as if she's the only one trapped.
Fuck you!
And I gotta say, Mary Kay, I'm a little offended because I'm the victim here. I have gone out of my way to be Mr. Fucking Good Guy, and now because of her, my whisper room is a cage, and Dr. Nikki is right. You can't control other people. You can only control your own actions. Melinda doesn't deserve my help, but lucky for her, when I see anyone trapped in a cage, even if it's their fault, well, what can I say? I'm a good fucking Samaritan. She screams for help, and I nod at the remote on the bed. Go ahead, I say. Pick it up. I have a project for you. She is quivering. It could be an act, and she picks up the remote and the screen lights up, and there they are, all of the movies in her iTunes account. See, Mary Kay, Melinda obsessively takes inventory of every calorie she puts into her body, but she needs to take that analytical obsession in a different direction. She needs to think about the movies she watches over and over again. I try to explain this to her, but she is the same old dog.
Oh, God, she sighs. You're not a pervert. You're a psychopath.
You call me a psycho? I'm the pervert. Melinda, would you look at the size of your Woody Allen collection? You own more of his movies than I do.
It's different, she snarls. I'm a woman. You have to know the enemy.
Bullshit. I say, you own anything else, and Melinda and Melinda, and those aren't even in the fucking canon. She simmers.
Get me out of here.
This is a teachable moment, Melinda.
This is not happening.
Oh, sweetie, I think we've established that this most certainly is happening.
You're a sick man.
Well, like you, I do appreciate crimes and misdemeanors.
That movie belongs to Angelica Houston, she snarls. Not that pig.
I'm on her phone, pacing, and I wish you could see me right now, Mary Kay. Okay, I say. Welcome to Melinda's Movies 101.
Stop it!
We casually buy movies in the middle of the night, but sometimes our selections say a lot about our underlying issues.
No!
You like your female bonding stories, Beaches and Romeo and Michelle and Terms of Endearment, and you identify strongly with Bridget Jones. You own all three movies, plus Jerry Maguire and New in Town.
Huh.
Perhaps the woman you identify with most is Renee Zellweger. She turns red.
There was a fucking sale, you idiot.
You're also a fan of the psycho woman genre, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. Single white female. She sinks to the floor, and she's crying now. She's moving forward.
Yay.
And I hunker down like a counselor, meeting her at ground level. Melinda, it's okay. We're both in shock. We both lost our tempers. It's not true. I acted in self-defense. But sometimes you have to lie to your pupil. We need a minute to decompress. And I need a minute to figure out what to do with her. You were burnt out. Anyone can see that. So just take this for what it is. Some time to self-reflect. These movies are your bedtime stories, your comfort foods. She blows her nose on her shirt. A girl is a gun.
You're insane.
Forget about me, Melinda. I'm worried about you. You could have gotten hurt out there. She looks at me like I'm the crazy one. I carry on. Look, I say. Every Sunday, you plan a detox from your phone. You turn off your notifications, but you never go through with it.
She bites her lip. Then she clocks the Safeway bag I put in her room while she was sleeping.
Can you put the TV in here? I have sensitive retinas.
Melinda. She knows not to press me. She's a fast learner, Mary Kay, and she juts her chin at the table.
What's in the bag?
Your favorite thing in the world, I say. Safeway donut holes. She almost smiles, because what a thrill it is, even under circumstances like this, to be known for who you really fucking are. Chapter 13. I'm at the fucking gym. Gotta be seen. Gotta normal the fuck up. And Seamus is working out 2 feet away, singing along to Kid Fucking Rock, who waxes nostalgic pervert about his whiskey-soaked glory days mounting an underage girl by a lake. Ugh. You and I, well, you and Melinda, are texting, and for the second time in 5 minutes, I plant my kettlebell on the ground to read your latest missive. You.
Drink this afternoon before your ferry? What time is your flight?
Melinda.
Sweetie, I wish, but I am so busy, LOL. Why?
Melinda's phone rings. You're calling her. Oh shit, and my stomach muscles quiver like I just finished a fucking Murph, and I can't talk to you. I'm not her, and I can't talk now. I'm in a fucking gym. I send you to voicemail, and I type, fast. Melinda.
LOL, sorry, but I can't talk. Too busy.
You.
I get it, but can you just talk for 2 minutes?
No, Mary Kay, she can't. I type. Melinda.
LOL, so sorry, but I'm running so late. Is this more Joe drama?
My heart pounds. But this is your pattern. You.
Ugh, yes and no. I just wish we could go get a drink.
We wouldn't be in this fucking mess if you talked to me more than you talk about me, and Shortest yanks his earbuds.
What's up with you, Chatty Cathy?
Nothing, I say. My buddy in New York is having issues with his wife. Shortest grunts.
Sucks to be him. But that doesn't mean it should suck to be you, or us, new guy. Take that shit outside. It's distracting.
I'm not new guy anymore. I live here, and all these fitness junkies are only here because it provides distraction from their lackluster lives. Shortest reinserts his earbuds, and I wipe down the kettlebell as if my hands are dirty and walk outside to deal with you.
Melinda, I wish we could go drink too, but yee, flight, so soon.
You.
And yay, flight! You know I always root for you, even if the idea of you actually moving makes me feel insane. I really felt like a drink today, but oh well, so happy for you.
That hurts, Mary Kay. You don't feel insane about Melinda. You miss me. And Melinda has no time for you. She's watching one of her favorite Woody Allen movies, and you need a reality check.
Oh, sweetie, you'll be okay. Give my love to Phil and Nomi, XO.
You don't like the patronizing tone. I know you, and I don't blame you. And I drive into town and pop into Blackbird. Just another normal fucking day. No woman trapped in my basement. And the fecal-eyed multi-generational family is here. I bump into the grandfather's chair, and Nancy glares at me as if it wasn't an accident. And they're all as cold to me as they are warm to each other. Motherfuckers. All of them. But at least they saw me. Normal Joe. Nothing to see. You're not Nancy, Mary Kay. You're not happily married. But you're not texting me to meet up for a drink, and that's the problem. I cross the street and head for the TNC, and Melinda's phone buzzes. It's you again, shocker. And you want to know what she'll wear for the big job interview. This is sadly normal for you two. She sends you her date outfits, and you weigh in.
I like the red.
And she argues with you until you eventually give up.
What matters most is how you feel in it. Gotta run. Phil's home, and as we know, this is a miracle.
But right now, you're in the salon. You're bored. And you badger Melinda a second time.
Need pictures. Let me live vicariously through you.
There are so many problems with this statement, Mary Kay. Melinda can't send you a selfie. She's wearing the t-shirt she had on when she attacked me. A girl is a gun, and you are too young to feel like the only living you have left to do is vicarious. I turn the screw.
LOL, that is so sad. No offense, but I feel like the Joe stuff is making you crazy.
You deflect and say that you might get bangs today.
Just fully become my mother.
And that's a cry for help, but Melinda is a bad friend. I read enough to know what she would say, so I lie to your face.
Do it. You can rock bangs. You have the face for them, and you are not your mother. Send me a pic if you gotta run. So busy before flight, LOL.
You give a smiley face.
Send pics. I'm here. Excited for you, Em.
You're acting out. Cutting your hair instead of coming clean with me just because your best friend is about to get on a plane. You text again.
Pics, please.
Melinda has 24,985 pics in her phone, and most of them pictures of her standing in front of a full-length mirror. I choose a recent selfie and send it to you with the shrugging brunette girl emoji, her favorite, and you are typing a lot. This isn't a fucking essay contest. It's a yes or no question, and then here you are.
Wait, I thought you returned that blue dress last week when we were in Seattle.
My heart alarm goes off, and no. No. This would be easier if there weren't 10,000 texts between you two and so many fucking pictures of so many fucking outfits, and I close my eyes. WWMD.
Ugh, long story, but more like get me off this rock, no offense, LOL. Just excited to go.
That was cruel. Maybe too cruel, and you're silent. I send another photo of Melinda in mustard pants and a green sweater. Was she trying to be vomit for Halloween? And once again, nothing. I studied your conversations, and this isn't how it goes. Radio silence is bad, and it makes me nervous for me, for you. Are you telling the stylist about what just happened? Did I fuck up? I type for Melinda.
You there? Sweetie, I'm sorry, just frazzled, LOL. You okay?
More silence. You're in the salon, in the chair, exactly 1,058 feet away from me. You have nothing to do but write back to your friend, and are you suspicious? Do you have a sixth sense? Did you run out of the salon? Are you pounding on Melinda's front door? So help me God, if a selfie that isn't even mine brings me down and I can't take this silence from you. I need to know that you're not on a paranoid mission to find your friend. I need to know that you're not at the police station, where they're not used to this kind of thing, and I have to find you because it's not like you to drop off. I walk toward Firefly, and I loiter by the gazebo. I miss lingering with you. And then the door to the salon opens. It's you. And you didn't get bangs. You wave at me, and I wave at you, and I'm holding Melinda's phone, but you don't know that. Thank God I took off the female first case, smart Joe, and you put your hands in your pockets and you're heading my way and you're closer every second and now you're here. You touch your hair.
It's a little much, right?
Well, Mary Kay, you did just step out of a salon. You laugh and I'm safe. We're safe. You don't suspect anything, and I can tell because if you did, you'd be holding your phone as if it contains evidence, and you don't think it's weird that I'm here because this is Cedar fucking Cove. We live here.
Well,
you say,
it's good to see you, but I should probably get home.
Liar. You just told Melinda you want a drink. Oh, come on. How about a drink? I took a blow to my ribs for you, and I hold your eyes. Hitchcock? You nod.
Hitchcock.
Your hair bounces when you walk. We are in motion, and I tell you I need a haircut, and you say that Firefly takes walk-ins, and I open the door for you, and you thank me, and we sit up front by the window. You bring your hands together.
Okay,
you say.
I feel bad that things have been so weird.
I take a sip of my water. Don't be ridiculous, Mary Kay. I get it. You pick up the menu and act like I meant what I said. And you don't know if you want wine or coffee, and this is new for us. This is a first for us. You're ordering a glass of Chablis, last time we drank the hard stuff, and pulling your turtleneck over your chin. You just said you felt bad that things were weird, but look at you now, such deliberately tiny sips as you run your hands through your hair, as if I'm blind, as if you're hungry for a compliment, as if I'm in a position to tell you that you look good. You're a fox. Foxes know they look good. I stare at you. Hey, are you all right?
Yeah,
you say.
Just tired.
Bullshit.
I woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
More bullshit, and that's a lazy answer, a child's answer, a stranger's answer.
And I'm a little weirded out. Melinda says she's headed to Minneapolis today.
I'm tired and spent, and now I long for you to go back to your bullshit because your best friend is in my fucking basement. And why didn't I just let you go home? I nod. Vacation?
She says she's going on a job interview.
Red flags abound. If you believed Melinda's story, you would have said that she's leaving town, not that she says she's leaving. I sip my water. You rub your forehead.
Maybe it's just me.
Yes, let's go with that theory.
She's always talked about moving there one day, but the timing feels off. Or maybe I'm off.
Maybe we should get something to eat. You ignore my suggestion.
Last week we took one of those quizzes to find out which Succession character you are.
I know. I already read the texts, and I was surprised that Shortis got Roman.
Anyway,
you say.
Melinda got Kendall, as you call him.
God, I love you. You remember everything.
And I got the evil ogre dad.
I don't think Logan's an ogre.
Ah, so you watched it.
Yes, I did. And Logan Roy is a good man. His spoiled kids are the evil ogres.
No,
you say.
Logan Roy is a monster. His kids have issues because of him.
That's a cheat, I say. You can't go through life blaming your childhood for the way you are as an adult. You shut down on me, and maybe you and your husband belong in my whisper room with your friend Melinda, because maybe you're all broken birds, busted beyond repair. You rub your eyes and your hands are trembling, and it's just a stupid TV show. I have empathy for you. I want to take care of you. Hey, I say. I think we should get you something to eat.
Joe, I'm married.
A beat.
Seriously.
You did it. You told me the truth. And now you won't look at me. Only at the table, and I should be relieved. We're in a new place. But if we go deep right now, you're going to want to hash it all out with Melinda. I pray for a kitchen fire, but it's no use. We're here. Melinda's in my basement, and you're staring at me, waiting. I do what anyone would do at a time like this. I stay silent. I don't acknowledge the waiter when he drops the check as if he's pushing us out the door, and I stare at the table. I remember the Titanic ferry. You sigh.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, say something.
What do you want me to say? I know.
You know?
Mary Kay, come on. You can't be all that surprised. You sip your water.
How long have you known?
I don't want you to think I'm a liar like you, and I don't want you to feel worse than you already do, and you are part fox. You want to feel clever. You like to feel clever, so I lie to you. Only for a couple days. You snort a little. It's not becoming. It's not you.
Wow, I guess I'm a really good liar.
I wanted to be in the dark. You want to have all the power, and this is why Melinda resents you, because you think being in a shitty marriage makes you superior.
Joe, let's not fight.
We're not fighting. We are fighting. My heart isn't in my body. It's on the table, right in front of you, bloody, raw, beating.
Joe?
You say, and you say it in the wrong way.
I didn't come here to tell you I'm leaving him. This isn't a date.
Yes, you are, and yes, it is. I know that.
And I'm not a cheater.
Yes, you are, but things will be different with me. Of course you're not.
My daughter, if she knew about that night?
You loved that night, and I did too. I mean it, Mary Kay. I didn't say a word.
And I didn't come clean because I'm about to make any changes in my life. And if that were to happen, which isn't to say that it will happen.
Yes, it will.
Well, that's why I can't do this with you on any level. You cannot be the man who wrecked my marriage.
Everyone knows that the people in the marriage are the ones responsible for the marriage. Everyone except married people. And I sip my water.
Agree. And I'm sorry. I should have told you that night at the pub. Hell, when Italian restaurant came on, I mean, why didn't I just say it then? What's wrong with me?
I tell you, there is nothing wrong with you, and you tell the waiter that we want another round. Yes. And you stand.
Be right back.
And I take out Melinda's phone, and sure enough, there you are.
I'm a horrible person, aren't I?
Melinda ignores you because you need to think for yourself. I put her phone back in my pocket, and a minute later, you come back. Your hair is flatter, and you take a deep breath like you were using one of her meditation apps.
Okay,
you say.
What do you want to know?
It's none of my business. We're okay. I'm glad you told me, and I know it wasn't easy. You clench your napkin.
Please stop defending me. You've always been upfront with me. You told me everything about your past.
Everything that matters.
And I let you think that I'm alone. Remember that first day when you said Gilmore Girls?
I remember everything about you. I remember.
I should have said it right then, but I admit it. I wanted to pretend you were so new.
You want me to say nice things to you, but I can't say nice things or you'll call me a marriage wrecker. I nod.
My husband's name is Phil. He's a musician. You might even know who he is.
You say it like he's George fucking Harrison. I mean it. You don't have to do this.
Phil DeMarco. He was the lead singer of Sacrifil.
It's fun to tell you that I don't know Sacrifil and you wish I did. Foxes like attention. And you tell me he's not just your husband.
He's Nomi's dad.
I nod as in, I fucking knew that, and you hiss at me.
Well, aren't you going to tell me I'm horrible? I don't wear a ring and I ran around with you, flirting with you?
Well, all we can do is take it from here.
But see, that's the thing. I'm not here, Joe.
Yes, you fucking are.
I can't be here.
Yes, you fucking can.
Joe, I lied to you. Stringing you along, letting you adopt all those kittens?
I wanted those kittens. You pull an ice cube out of your drink with your fingers. You hide it in your palm.
Look, no marriage is perfect.
According to all the people who should have gotten divorced 10 fucking years ago.
But part of the reason I never even thought about making any changes.
You open your palm. The ice cube glistens.
Joe,
you say.
I didn't think someone like you existed.
I want to kiss you. This is our moment, but you bulldoze over it with your words, telling me how selfish you think you've been, as if you wish I would walk out on you and make it easier for you to stay in your rut. You don't owe me an explanation, but you want to explain. You love talking to me because you can be honest with me. You don't come out and say it, but it's true. Look at you, relaxing and thinking out loud. I'm the only one you can talk to. Me.
See?
You say.
It sounds trite and Melinda would be horrified.
You say her name so casually. You can't hear the alarms going off in my head because what the fuck do I do with her, Mary Kay? I can't think about that right now, so I breathe. Be here now. How so?
Well,
you say.
I got married so young, I've never been through anything like this. Meeting an available man, spending time with him, getting to know you slowly. And Melinda's stories about being out there are always so grim. But you, I built my life around the idea that I wasn't going to meet anybody like you.
But you did. Really, Mary Kay, it's okay. Nothing has changed. We can wait. You shake your head no, and you fight my collective plural with your collective plural.
We're a family, Joe. It's not that simple.
And I let you win this battle.
There's no point in arguing with you right now. Melinda's only been gone for a few hours, and already you're changing, growing. You're not there yet, I know. Your maternal instincts have overwhelmed your basic need for love, for self-preservation, and soon your phone buzzes, and it's him. We both know it's time to go. On the sidewalk, we don't embrace. You say you should probably go, and bells are ringing on the shop doors as they open and close. The holidays are all around us. You thank me for being such a grown-up about all this, and I tell you the truth, that I just want you to be happy. You think this is goodbye. You think this is the end. But I walk away with a smile on my face.
I didn't think someone like you existed.
Oh, Mary Kay. Yes, I fucking do exist. And deep down, you know there is no going back. Chapter 14. I trot downstairs, and I'm basking in a cloud of smug. Melinda tried to turn you against me, and she failed. And even though I should kill her for putting me in this position, I admit it, Mary Kay. I want to fucking gloat. I want the teacher to know she failed. She greets me and the donut holes in my hand with a blank stare. Melinda, there are handcuffs in the drawer of the end table. Cuff yourself to the bedpost, and I'll bring you a snack. She bickers as if I'm not the one in hell right now, and my sugar high is fading. She's here. She really is. Am I fucked? And she finds the handcuffs. The cops should have locked her up, not me. But life is a shark that moves forward. Even Phil knows that. And my time away was productive. I saw you. You love me. And things are different in here, too, now. Melinda is slower. She's slouching, almost apologizing for her inability to get the cuffs on. She'd never admit it, but she gets it now. I'm the fucking boss. And she cuffs up because she works in a school system. She's conditioned to respect authoritative rank, so I enter the room like the professor, like the principal. Okay, Melinda. What have we learned today? She eyeballs me.
Well, you're in a good mood. I suppose you saw MK, huh?
That's none of your fucking business, Melinda. I thought we'd start with the deep dive into friendship narratives.
If you're so obsessed with Mary Kay, why didn't you kidnap her?
I didn't kidnap you. You're not a child. Now come on, friendship movies, Romeo and Michelle, beaches, let's dive in. I don't want to be Melinda's Dr. fucking Nikki, but you know what, Mary Kay? I do want your friend to cop to her sins. It's only now that I realize just how much she hurt us. If you had a real best friend, you would have told me about your husband several weeks ago, and her phone buzzes. It's you.
I did it. I told him. Calling you now.
You are a woman of your word, and Melinda's phone is ringing, and I send you to voicemail. What fucking choice do I have? And now Melinda's gloating, smoothing the wrinkles in her sweatpants.
Uh-oh. She says, I'd say someone has a big problem.
Yeah, you own a library of movies about female friendship, but you're not a friend.
Oh, please, she says. Most women our age love beaches and Romeo and Michelle. But I'll tell you what is unusual. Me sending MK to voicemail. Give me the phone.
No.
Suit yourself. And FYI?
Is she this patronizing with her students?
My movies are just bedtime stories I turn on after I pop a Xanax, sweetie.
Her phone buzzes. It's you.
Can you talk? I promise I'll be fast. Or set a time for later?
I know you don't mean to hurt me, Mary Kay, but for fuck's sake, take a fucking hint. I write back.
Sorry, I am insane busy, LOL. We'll call you later.
You don't write back. You're mad. And Melinda says that I'm playing with fire, and I hate her, Mary Kay. I hate her for being right. I pop a hole in my mouth. So help me God if this woman makes me get love handles. And I ask if she's the Hillary Whitney or the CeCe Bloom, and she sighs.
I know you work the loner angle pretty hard, but here's a heads up about friends. When I go out of town, MK waters my plants. We talk, Joe. We talk a lot.
Fuck my life. Are you the Hillary Whitney or the CeCe Bloom?
When I need to talk, she picks up. And when she needs to talk, I pick up.
You text again as if you're on her side, not mine.
You okay? Can I do anything?
And I wish you weren't so kind, but I know you have an ulterior motive. You want to talk about me. And Melinda snaps her fingers at me.
Just let me talk to her.
You know that's not an option.
Be real, sweetie. I'm a single woman. MK is a mom. She checks up on me. One time my phone died when I was out with this guy. She has the code to my place. She was at my condo that night.
Why do you have to be such a good damn friend, Mary Kay?
Let's focus on you, Melinda.
My voice is shaky. How could it not be? And there's a crack in my cloud of smug. Melinda eyes me.
Do you want to go to prison?
I may not know what to do about Melinda, but I am not going to prison, and you are not going to Melinda's fucking condo, and you text again.
Sorry to be a stage 9 clinger, but I really need to talk.
And I know, Mary Kay, I get it, but Melinda is fucking busy right now, and she sprawls out on the futon and lectures me in her sing-song tone about how all women are CeCe Bloom and Hillary Whitney, and all women are Romy and Michelle, and I need you to not want to talk to her, so I have no choice, Mary Kay. I have to be mean. Well, Melinda has to be mean.
Sweetie, I am so happy you told him, but I'm one person trying to take care of myself, and I just... LOL, you can tell me about your side piece boyfriend when I get settled into my hotel, okay?
You're so mad that you don't respond for a full minute, and you're so benevolent that when you do respond, you're kind.
I get it. I will water your plants tonight. Is the code the same?
I prefer keys to codes, and you're antsy. You don't really care about her plants, but you want to hide out in her condo and think about me and pretend that you're single, and Melinda grins.
Even for her, this is a lot of texting.
She sits up on the futon.
What's your plan, Joe?
I don't fucking know. And you text her again.
Let me know if the code changed. Love you.
And I love you. So I nip this in the fucking bud.
LOL, same code, but no need to worry about the plants. I tossed them a couple days ago. Would love if you could scoop up mail next week, though. XOXO.
You give Melinda a thumbs up, but I know you, Mary Kay. You won't wait a week, and what the fuck am I gonna do about her?
It's not as easy as you thought, is it, sweetie?
Do you cry when Hillary Whitney dies in beaches?
You didn't realize that real best friends talk every day, and I do not mean text, I mean talk, as in out loud.
You're happy for CeCe Bloom when she gets custody of that little girl, aren't you? You always wanted something like that to happen to you, so that you could have Nomi all to yourself.
Honey, enough about the movies, you're in trouble. MK will go to the police if I don't call her back. I mean, yes, your little Minnesota story is cute, absolutely, but if I did fly to Minneapolis, I'd call her from the airport to bitch about a loud businessman, and I'd call her from the hotel to bitch about the sheets. You don't know how it is with sisters.
You're not her sister, she huffs.
Fine. You won't be the first overzealous man to dig his own grave.
You see the best in people. Always a dangerous approach to life, and this is why we're a good team, Mary Kay. I see the worst. I tell Melinda that I don't care if I go to prison. I tell her that she's the one behind bars, that her whole life is a loveless fucking lie. She rolls over. I'm getting to her. And I tell her that I am here to protect you from her, and that no matter what happens, I have all the evidence. I know that she resents you, and I tell her that she's neither a feminist nor a sister, and that you're not going to be her prisoner anymore. And now she sits up and looks at me.
So Phil and I went out in high school.
It's so sad how puffed up she gets by mentioning ancient high school history. Ah, I say. So Mary Kay stole your boyfriend. No wonder it's so toxic between you two.
Hardly, she says.
I only tell you because obviously I never moved on. Phil is, well, he's a rock star.
Mick Jagger is a rock star. Phil DeMarco is a rocker.
And honey, she puts her hand on her chest, it's sad that you think that she'd ever leave him for you.
Tell me the code to your condo. She grins.
Ah, she says. I got to you, didn't I?
I'll get in there one way or another, Melinda.
I know, she says. You'll get into my condo, but you'll never get between MK and Phil.
She smirks again. Vicious as an eighth-grade queen bee.
It's so cute. You swagger in here because she finally told you about Phil. You break into my phone. You think you know us. I don't know your deal, but you've obviously seen Beaches and Romeo and Michelle. You know that best friends talk about everything.
Give me the fucking code.
But you don't have transcripts of our wine nights, our phone calls.
I hate my skin for turning red. Just tell me the code.
#342. She says,
342, as in, you love me.
Ugh. You can write it down.
I should just fucking kill her, Mary Kay. Thank you. I turn to go and she baits me.
I wish you were there the night she told me about you.
I say nothing.
How you didn't go to college? How you don't have any friends, and I definitely wish you had been there the night she told me about what a bad kisser you are. Too much tongue.
I won't let her see my face. I know better, Mary Kay. She's lying. She has to be lying.
It's so sad that you actually think you're in competition with Phil.
My teeth are chattering.
And she's right, Joe. You read too much.
No such thing.
You overdose on beef and broccoli.
You would never say that about me.
That's the only possible explanation for why you could believe that she'd ever leave someone like him for someone like you. She's too kind for her own good. Obviously, she said something that put a pep in your step today, but my God, honey, get a clue. MK is nice to everyone. She's a librarian, a public servant. A people pleaser. It's just a shame when guys like you take kindness so personally.
She yawns like my mother, and she reminds me of my mother, who would turn up the volume on Jerry Springer when I got home from school, when I wanted to tell her about my day, when I was dead to her because I was happy. That's what's happening right now, Mary Kay. You put a pep in my step. You told me I exist, and your friend wants me to stumble. She's not smart like you and me. She can't be happy for other people, not really. And she won't ever learn her lesson, and fuck it. Do I do it right now? Do I kill your best friend?
Sweetie, she says, could you move the TV in here? I have sensitive retinas, and the glare from the window really is killing me. I'd also love a steak. I am simply dying for some real red meat, you know?
I want to, I do. But no. I don't have a plan, and I'm not going down over Melinda. I slam the door, and on the way upstairs, my tongue pulsates in my mouth. Fuck you, Melinda. My tongue is just fine. Isn't it? Chapter 15. I did not give her my fucking TV, and I am not going to get her a steak. Bad dogs don't get treats. Everyone knows that. And that's what she is, Mary Kay. A bad dog. Territorial and violent. She attacked me, and I brought her home. I fed her. I tried to train her, and she turned around and assaulted me again.
I definitely wish you had been there the night she told me about what a bad kisser you are. Too much tongue.
Now I'm pacing in my backyard, watching my estranged son run around on Instagram to remind myself of how fucking good I am. He's toddling. He's cute. I made that. I trip on an exposed root in the natural landscape, and I hate Bainbridge Island because there is such a thing as too fucking quiet. We're not in the desert, and no one has to be on the factory line at 7 a.m., so why is everyone but me asleep? I wasn't going to hurt anyone. I'm a good goddamn guy, but I'm a lonely guy, bullied and used. She attacked me. It's her fault that she's in that basement, that I'm in this mess. And did you really make fun of my kissing? Did you mean it when you said you never thought you'd meet someone like me? Or is Melinda right? Was that your kind way of telling me I'm not good enough? I can't be here. And no, I don't want to get on the ferry and ride to Seattle and stuff my face with salmon ampersand quinoa and visit a bookstore underneath a market. We get it, Seattle. You have history. Only to be hungry an hour later and hunt down some restaurant with a twee pink door. All of that is really only fun if you're doing it with someone you love, and I love you, but you're like the rest of the islanders right now. You're in bed. I put on my gloves, no fucking prints, no DNA, and I unlock the door to Melinda's condo and set the stage for her departure in case you do pop by. I go in the bathroom. The door is propped open by a copy of The Thorn Birds that she cut in half, and it's a foul mess of OB tampons and fitness magazines and monogrammed towels, MRS. Wow. Melinda Ruby Schmid really is a very bad dog. Her parents knew it, burying the Ruby because they knew she wasn't a gem, saddling her with initials she could never live up to. I pick up a framed photo of you and your best friend, and even when she's happy, she's miserable, hiding behind sunglasses while you squint in the sun. I check my phone. Melinda is tearing the sheets off the bed, and she isn't capable of appreciating a surprise movie binge staycation because she isn't capable of love. She only sleeps in one half of her bed at home. The other half is littered with mini dove wrappers, and oh, for fuck's sake, Melinda, you're not a supermodel. Buy a candy bar. She's reading Sarah Geo's Violets of March, and no, Melinda, that book isn't about you. It's about a nice woman. A divorcee who got married because she believed in love, unlike some people. Was she right, Mary Kay? Are you never going to leave him? I open the junk drawer in her kitchen, and she has dozens of women's fitness exercise calendars, and they're glued together by time and self-loathing. I look in her mirror. It rests on the other half of the Thorn Birds, and it lies to me and makes me taller and thinner than I am. I look above her mirror, where there's another big fat lie in the form of a cheery sign. You are beautiful. I pick up her computer, and the last thing she Googled was young Carly Simon. And no, Melinda, you don't look like Carly Simon because Carly Simon has a soul. I turn on her TV where it's nothing but Real Housewives. She didn't watch the documentaries made by women for women that she praises on Twitter. And she listens to Coming Around Again so much because if no one ever stays, and who could stay, then no one ever leaves and thus no one can ever return to play the game again with her. But this is the burden of being a good guy. I would never say any of that to her. The person I need right now is you. And it's late, but it's not that late. I pick up Melinda's phone. Melinda. You there? You.
Yep. Can't sleep. How's the trip? Did you get in safe?
Oh, Mary Kay, you could sleep if you were with me, and so could I. Melinda.
Yes, and so... Okay, so... I met someone, LOL.
You.
Already? You just landed, no?
Melinda.
Well, we actually started talking a couple months ago, but long distance. I mean, I didn't say anything because who knows, but now I'm here and, well, now I know, LOL.
You.
Wow. Well, that's great.
Oh, Mary Kay, you were greener by the bubble.
Melinda.
LOL. Yes, with him right now, so gotta scram, but yay for me.
You.
Wow. Details? Tell me he's not married.
Jesus, you are jealous, and as well you should be. You see now that Melinda took a leap of faith, so she gets to be happy, and this is how I make you see the light. Melinda.
Nope. Divorced. Totally free. No offense, LOL.
You.
Ha!
I grin. It is a little fun to get under your skin. Melinda.
Wow, indeed. And he can kiss, LOL. Speaking of which, how's your little friend?
You.
That's so great, Em.
You didn't bite the bait, but on a good note, I hear the pain in your voice. Melinda.
I forgot about just kissing someone who, like, really, really, really knows how to kiss, LOL. I'm sorry I am in seventh grade right now. Woohoo, LOLOLOL.
You.
Yeah. Nothing like a kiss.
I miss your yeah. And do you mean our kiss? Melinda.
You okay with stuff?
You.
Yeah, just trying to get Nomi to do her college essay. Maybe I'll go back to college, too. When do you find out about the job?
Jesus, Mary Kay. Life moves forward. You went to college. You married Phil. Get with the program and move on. Don't pine for the past, and don't make it all about the future. Be here now and give me your lemon head. Melinda.
Ha ha. You could not pay me to go back to school. I am so happy right now. I mean, Carl. My interview is tomorrow, but I feel really good about it, you know?
You.
So happy for you, Em. Seriously.
Seriously? Take it in, Mary Kay. I know that divorce used to seem like a bad idea, like you'd be at wine bars 8 nights a week with Melinda, squabbling over horny shortest types, men you don't even like, regretting every decision that led to that bar stool. But you met me. It's time to leave that fucker and be with me. Carl did it. He left his wife, and you can too. Melinda.
Okay, seriously, back at you. Are you okay? You can talk about Joe. I won't yell at you and make fun of his sweater, LOL, I promise.
I wait. I watch the screen. Nothing. Nothing at all. And then a minute later, you.
Melinda, you don't have to make a dig at him every time I mention him. I know you don't like him. Message received.
Melinda.
I'm sorry. I'm just like Carl, 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 only good man on earth.
You.
Well, that's great. Can't wait to meet him if things work out.
If. Ouch. Is that the issue? You want the sure thing over the risk? Melinda.
Oh, it's more like whatever happens. Being with him is a game changer, you know? He went through the fire and he left his wife, and even if it doesn't work out, I am just so happy we met, you know? That said, okay, yes, we are totally getting married, LOLOL.
You.
Ha!
You never do the isolated ha, and Melinda's really getting to you. Good. Melinda.
Are you mad at me?
You.
No. Just feel like shit tonight. And I know, I'm married, I made this mess, and I have a husband, but I don't need a lecture right now, so please spare me.
Melinda.
Only love you, sweetie. And on that note, I know I was hard on Joe.
Mary Kay.
Eh. I should probably just forget it. It was just a kiss. A good one. I was living in a fantasy, cliche but true, you know?
I have my answer. You do like the way I kiss, and Melinda was right about one thing. I'm nothing like Phil. I'm better than Phil. And Melinda may not have come around and seen the light just yet, but I'm in control now, and it's time for her to be a real friend. Melinda.
No, MK. Look, pre-Carl, I was in man-bashing mode. I can admit that. I mean, you know that.
Mary Kay.
I know he wasn't your favorite.
Melinda.
Do me a favor. Give it a chance. I'm not saying to leave Phil, and I'm not saying Joe is anywhere near the man that Carl is. LOL. Gush, gush, gush. But I want you to be happy. There's no law that says you can't just get to know him. I mean, you told him about Phil. Don't push him away.
Mary Kay.
Who is this? And can you send my friend Melinda back? Smiley face.
A chill runs through my body. I stare at the phone and fuck you, Steve Jobs, and Mother Nature, because this is the flaw of all communication. Why can't we take things back? The pressure is increasing every second, and I have to say something, but did I go too far?
Melinda. Oh, believe me, I'm grossed out too, and fully aware that in 7 days I will probably hate Carl and Minnesota. LOLOL.
You are typing. Slowly. The dots appear, and the dots go away, and people who go to bed early wake up early, and I need to finish packing up for Melinda's imaginary trip, and I need to get the fuck out of here before the joggers awake, and boom.
Mary Kay. I was just kidding. Very happy you're happy, and yeah, about Joe, we'll see.
Oh yes, we fucking will, Mary Kay. Chapter 16. It's Christmas Eve, and all day long, I live like a mothball. I don't make eye contact with you unless you address me, which you do twice, both times for professional reasons. At noon, I go out to the love seat, because I always go out to the love seat. I know how to take a hint, Mary Kay. Melinda told you to give me a chance, but the last time we spoke, you told me to back off. The door opens at 12:13, and you're wearing your coat. You mean to stay, and you make a sad face at my lunch.
Well, that's not beef and broccoli.
No, I say. This is what we call a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You sit on the love seat. Not close as in closer, but you're not shoved against the armrest. You smile at me, playful.
Is it okay if I tell you that Nomi likes the Bukowski you suggested?
I think that's okay. Is it okay if I tell you that I'm really happy you came out here?
Well, I think that's okay. But I should ask you if it's okay for me to say that I was up all night because I couldn't stop thinking about you.
I think it's okay for you to say that. As long as it's okay for me to say that I was up all night thinking about you too. We are on fire, and you scratch your messy bun. Red. Gold. You.
Is it okay for me to say that I thought about you in the shower?
Only if it's okay for me to say that I always think about you in the shower. You turn red.
Is it okay for me to say that I've been hoping that you do?
Only if it's okay for me to say that I fucked you in my head in every square foot of this library. You glance at me. Did I go too far? You smile.
Is it okay for me to be a little insulted that you haven't imagined what we could do right here?
I said every square foot of the library, Mary Kay.
Yes, but in my head we've been on every square foot